we want to begin with tennis because in the state of Connecticut, beginning next week in New Haven at the Connecticut Tennis Center, a big event, the annual Connecticut Tennis Open. And we are so pleased to have on the program the tournament director, Ann Worcester. Ann, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And this is a big event which gets underway on the 19th of August, I guess, with the preliminary rounds. What's going on?
Yep, we kick off a week from tomorrow here at the Connecticut Tennis Center at Yale, and the qualifying is Friday and Saturday. It's the best deal in town, $7 for the entire day, and the field is top 50 and top 100 players in the world battling out for 6 spots in the main draw, which kicks off on Sunday with ShopRite Kids Day as well.
$7 to go to the qualifying rounds?
Yes, but it's very much like a professional event in and of itself because there's the ranking cutoff is 86 in the world, so everybody in the qualifying is top 86 in the world, vying for 6 spots in the main draw.
I mean, that's $7. You can't beat that.
No, the food trucks are open, and the food court, and all the sponsor booths, and so you get all the festival-like fun and exciting activities, as well as the play on outer court. So it's very up close and personal, very intimate, all for $7.
Now, you're going to have a world-class women's field for the tournament, and evidence of that is when you look at the number of tennis players who are going to be at the Connecticut Tennis Open who are in Rio. Talk about that.
Well, not only is almost our entire field represented or is still representing their country in Rio, but 6 of the 8 quarterfinalists today in Rio are Connecticut Open players, and Madison Keys has already won her match, first quarterfinal of the day in Rio, so she is through to the semifinals, which means if she wins her semifinal, she's guaranteed a gold or a silver. And, of course, the losing semifinalist plays off for the bronze medal. So we have a very good chance of having medalists here at the Connecticut Open, so it's even more exciting.
There was also an interesting match the other day between 2 Connecticut Tennis Open defending champions in Rio, right?
Isn't that? I know. And that was a rematch of last year's 2015 semifinal on Friday night. And Petra came out ahead, and she's about to go on court actually now to play her quarterfinal in Rio.
And she beat Caroline Wozniacki, who was, what, a 4-time champion at the Connecticut?
4-time champion, coming back to play here for the 9th time. Very, very loyal to the tournament, calls it one of her favorite tournaments in the world. She loves the players love playing in New Haven because it's the calm before the storm of New York, and they love the international award-winning restaurants in New Haven. They love the proximity to the site. They love the fans. They love the intimacy. Fans can, there's autograph sessions. Players are riding on spin bikes to raise funds for Smilo Cancer Hospital. There's all kinds of military appreciation things that fans and players alike support all week long. So it's just a very intimate sort of festival of fun and exciting activities all week long off the court.
For many of these players, by the way, it has become tradition, right? You play in New Haven and then you go to the U.S. Tennis Open.
That's exactly right. They love, it's the same surface, the same climate, the same time zone, the same ball as the U.S. Open, which is my recruiting pitch when I go out and talk to the players to commit to the Connecticut Open. And then, of course, it's just a quick run. We take them to their U.S. Open hotel when they're finished. It's a Saturday final, so I say we'll get the finalists in New York for dinner on Saturday night. And then they have the day off on Sunday before they start the U.S. Open. And so over the years, we've had an average of 5 of the top 10 players in the world and, a majority of the top 30 players in the world. So we've been very lucky, and fans are guaranteed great entertainment and great competition from the first round on. It's like a second round of a Grand Slam.
Now, you touched upon it briefly, but explain to our audience the impact that the Connecticut Tennis Open has on area businesses.
Well, first of all, we have more than 60 sponsors to put on the show. The tournament is a large-scale international sporting event, and there are more than 40 hours on ESPN networks. And the tournament is also televised in more than 160 countries around the world. So Connecticut-based companies who want to build their brand nationally and internationally all see great value in sponsoring the tournament. This year we have 33 new sponsors, many of which are Connecticut-based. And sponsors love the fact that the tournament generates more than $10 million in economic impact for the region. Sponsors like the fact that the tournament is a 501c3 charitable organization, which leverages this live world-class women's tennis event to benefit the community in terms of economic impact and to support important causes, especially women's causes, youth causes, and military causes. And I think our sponsors really value the fact that the tournament puts Connecticut in the international media limelight, which, of course, helps with business attraction and tourism.
I don't think there's any question about it. You watch the event on television. You go to the event, obviously. You've got a world-class facility. It really casts Connecticut in a good light, doesn't it?
And Connecticut's very lucky to have two world-class international sporting events in the Travelers Championships and the Connecticut Open. And, you know, typically we kick off the summer with men's golf and culminate the summer with women's tennis. This year, of course, the Travelers was rescheduled for August due to the Olympics. But, you know, for a small state, we're very lucky to have two international large-scale sporting events that puts the state of Connecticut in a very positive international media limelight.
Talk a bit about the food selection at the event, because as I understand it, there's quite an array.
Yeah, local food trucks showcasing a variety of food include wood-fired pizza, gourmet grilled cheese, salad, seafood, and much more. Of course, we have favorites like Ben and Jerry's and the Lobster Shack, which are really great lobster rolls. And this year we're also going to have local chefs cooking and local chefs menus in our box holder restaurant. So our week-long box holders will be exposed to our local award-winning chefs, which is a new touch this year.
Now, how about tickets and parking? Explain that to our audience.
So tickets are available on our website, ctopen.org, 24/7, of course. Or folks can call the ticket phone number is 877-230-1560. That's 877-230-1560. And of course, people can also walk up, the day of to the box office, but if they want even better locations, highly, encourage, to purchase tickets in advance.
And the parking is right there as well. How does that
work? There's general parking, which is $10 right across the street. You know, the entire site is sort of in the shadow of the, Yale Bowl, the historic Yale Bowl, and all the parking is proximate to the Yale Bowl. Very well signposted, easy to find, and, fans can also purchase in advance silver parking and gold parking, which is, of course, even closer to the front gate.
Now, are there separate ticket prices for children? How does that work?
Yes, there's all that is delineated on the website, but tickets are very affordable for adults and even more affordable for children. I think it's 14 and under is the cutoff, and all of those are delineated on ctopen.org.
Now, sometimes people ask me, so now's a good time to get it explained. When you have day and night sessions at the event, does that require separate admission?
Yes, sir. There's a day session, day and night session, Monday through Friday. And the day session, again, this is all on the website, but typically begins at noon and gates open an hour in advance at 11. And there's play during the day in the stadium and on the grandstand and on outer courts. So folks that love to be up close and personal and watch on outer courts, that I would recommend they come in the daytime. At night, the session starts at 7. I think gates open at 5:30, and it's a big party. There's live music on the stage every night, the food trucks, the food court, the sponsor booths. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do all, you know, in advance of the matches.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because the focus is on the grandstand as well. It should be, but there are outdoor courts where the tournament is also being held, right?
Yeah, and during the early rounds, we play on 5 courts, and then, of course, we play down to just the stadium at the end of the week. But I think one of the points of differentiation of the Connecticut Open is that folks love to see phenomenal players at the top of their game, veterans and rising stars alike, in this very up-close and personal atmosphere. And, of course, it's all that entertainment on the court and then so much entertainment off the court.
I was reading on the website, which is a very detailed website, by the way, that the facility is ADA compliant, correct?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So people should know that. Are there wheelchairs available on site?
Yes, anyone who needs handicap parking is in our silver lot, and then the attendant will call a mobility cart and escort the guest to our handicap seating, which is very prime, I might add.
And before we wrap it up, I'd like to go over the field again, because I was reading where the qualifying field entry list is the strongest ranking cutoff since 2008.
Yes, and the main draw is the strongest since 2003. So the main draw includes veterans like Caroline Wozniacki, of course, Petra Kvitova, Roberta Vinci, who upset Serena Williams in the semifinals of the U.S. Open, and which completely ruined Serena's chance for a calendar Grand Slam. And then young Americans like Madison Keys, who just won her quarters at the Rio Olympics, is into the semifinals. And then our men's legends event on Thursday night will feature John McEnroe and our local hometown favorite, James Blake. And our men's legends on Friday night will feature Andy Roddick and Mark Philippoussis. So lots of big names on the women's side as well as the men's side.
Well, this is really exciting. What would you say to the novice tennis fan who maybe hasn't been to a tournament, but their interest has been piqued and they want to go? What would you tell them?
Well, I'd say go on the website and check out all the fun special events for fans throughout the week. So there's ShopRite Kids Day on Sunday the 21st, which is a fantastic day of mascots and clinics. And the Aetna Fit Zone is open all week, but there's a ton going on in the Aetna Fit Zone on Kids Day. So it's a great day for families to come. Monday night, we have a brand new opening ceremony presented by Yale University with all of our main draw players being honored on stadium court, and musical performances by Yale a cappella group, the Spizwinks, and the special national anthem by the Yale Glee Club president. The Tuesday is a brand new Girls Day and Night Out. It's the court girl lifestyle experience with trunk shows and special cocktails and boutique tennis brands and raffle items and makeovers and all kinds of great stuff. So moms and daughters and sisters and BFFs are encouraged to buy tickets for Tuesday day or night. Thursday and Friday, of course, are the men's legends matches. And then we wind up the week with United Technologies Military Appreciation Day on Saturday, August 27th, which is also our finals. And all veterans and active military members receive 2 free box seats that day. And there's free hospitality in the United Technologies Military Outpost. Frontier Communications does a wonderful honor and remember ceremony on the Connecticut stage. Everybody gets a American flag at the front gate, courtesy of Knights of Columbus. U.S. Army is providing all kinds of cool hardware and color guard and national anthem singer. So it's going to be a fantastic way to honor our military and culminate the tournament. So I think for a first timer, even if you know nothing about tennis, there's all these great special events which cater to, you know, something for everyone. So just check out the website and see what, you know, tickles your fancy. And when you come on site, you can help us meet our mission by riding the spin bikes at the Yale New Haven Hospital booth. We're raising funds for Smilo Cancer Hospital for breast cancer research. You can go to the Bank of America booth and participate in our hashtag Troop Thanks social media program. You can bring a non-perishable food item to the front gate. We're partnering with ShopRite and the Caring Food Drive, and all of that will go to the Connecticut Food Bank. And we're also collecting gently worn shoes in conjunction with Souls for Souls, which is an international organization. Shoes are recycled and distributed throughout the United States and third world countries. So we love when our fans help us to meet our mission to leverage this world-class women's tennis tournament to give back to our communities throughout the state of Connecticut. So we welcome all of your listeners to join us for any or all of that.
And before we wrap up the interview, because this is a business-oriented show, and I like to ask people about their careers, how does one end up becoming a tournament director?
Well, there's lots of different ways. For me, I started my career 30-plus years ago on the tournament side, answering the phones, taking ticket orders, and making $250 a week. Once I experienced the tournament side, then I loved it, and so I went internationally and worked on running tennis events throughout Spain. And then I came back and worked on the sponsor side with Virginia Slims Tennis and learned event marketing from the best. And then I sort of put the player side, the tournament side, and the sponsor side together and went to work for the WTA in governance for 7 years. And then wanted to start a family and not be traveling around the world. So coming back to the tournament side of things was very comfortable and convenient for me and really was compatible with my personal priorities. So this is my 19th year being the tournament director. My kids have grown up at the tournament, and now they're off to college. So that's how I became a tournament director, but I think everyone probably has a different story.
Sure. Best piece of marketing advice you were ever given?
Wow, that's a stiff one. I'd say know your brand attributes, know who you are, and be authentic.
That which really seems to be what I hear from a lot of people. Know your brand and be honest, right?
Yeah. Know who you are and who you're not, and be authentic to that brand.
Wow. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
Just, we welcome everyone, ctopen.org. We're still looking for volunteers.
How does one become a volunteer? Please talk about that.
We have really great positions, usher positions, transportation positions, and you get free uniform and tickets and meals and a great experience. And, of course, you're contributing to this 501c3 organization, which gives back to community. So it's great for community service, for college kids or even high school kids, as well as, you know, any age. And we have a lot of seniors who love to come and volunteer. That some of our seniors have been here for 20 years. Our volunteers are actually sponsored by AARP, which is wonderful. And you can register on the website ctopen.org, and all the information is right there.
And you've been terrific. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me, and hope to see you at the Connecticut Open August 19th to the 27th.